What up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Unplugged. It may seem familiar, but we had a different face today. I got my good friend Enrique, an old friend from high school, from theater. He's traveled the world. No, Enrique's here. Thanks for being here, Enrique. I want to kind of dig in and just talk about your acrobatic career and you know how you've been and whatnot. So, how you been?
I've been good, man. You've been good? How's COVID treating you? How's your quarantine experience?
Good. I haven't got it yet. I feel like a boy who's like trying to resist getting cooties when it's everywhere.
Oh, really?
But luckily I haven't gotten cooties yet. So I'm good. I'm taking
like you're talking about COVID itself.
If you call COVID cooties, then it has less of a fear.
You know? Oh, that's fair. Yeah. I always ask, like, because I feel like when I usually ask people, like, how you're doing, I've so frequently gotten, like, the same as everybody else, kind of depressed, laid off, is like, on unemployment. I was like, okay. Yeah. So I just started, how's your COVID experience happening?
I mean, yeah, I do fall under those a lot. But, you know, I make the best of it. And my thing is, I'm just trying to, you know, get through it and not contact it and spread it to others.
Yeah,
I think that's what I fear the most. Like if I live by myself and if I was on my own in an island, you know, then okay, I'm fine, you know, but
different story.
The fact that I could possibly, you know, pass it on to family members, work people, yeah. or just a random stranger.
Like people who are just immune compromised.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing where it's so hard to see people be so cavalier. It's like, well, when you drive, you wear a seatbelt, right? Why don't you wear a mask? You know, if we're all about all lives matter, then why can't we just value each other's lives and just try to social distance and you know, wear a mask? Cause I've seen my father in a respirator. You know, he couldn't talk. I never heard my dad's voice ever again after he put that respirator on, you know? And then these people who have COVID are dying alone with respirator in their mouth. No one to talk to, you can't go online. You can't go on Facebook, you know, you're like, imagine going through your like days, your last days, lying down, looking at a ceiling, like that. That's for nobody. And like I've had friends who their family members died, not from COVID, but just died from whichever reason. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't go visit them. They couldn't see them on their last days because you know it's
are a they contagious it's a, of some with
no because once you have anything in the hospital, you can't have visitors because the hospital itself is a sterile environment. So they want to make sure that they contain every person who's because when you're in there, you're exposed to COVID because there's
they're
so many
trying to limit their variables at the end of the day.
Yeah, basically, you know. So if I could do my extra part, you know, to make sure people are safe, I'm gonna do it. That's just my it's my Spider-Man mantra. You know, great power comes with responsibility, and right now my power is not spreading the virus. So I'm definitely trying to be good because I wanted to do vlogs. Disney and Knott's. Like, I had a big plan to just do some extra outdoor vlogs, but I chose not to because I'd be a hypocrite if I were to preach all this and just go out all the time. So I want to limit mine. And when things get better, maybe I'll start going out again, you know, but it's one of those things where I just don't want to endanger anybody, you know?
Are you able to grocery shop at all or do you just have your food delivered?
I grocery shop when I have to. I did do delivery for a while. I feel like I should go back to delivery, but I take precautions. I wear a mask and I wear gloves. I sanitize my wheel. I sanitize. I have a spray. Like I wash my hands. I take showers when I get back. You know, like I really take extra measures so that I don't bring it back. And like if I show any symptoms, I take it 2 weeks. But I've never shown symptoms. You clearly see people like disobeying things on Instagram. So it's like, all right, I'm not going to be seeing you in a while. that's why these are so great. We could do this from. You're free in Seattle right now, and I'm here in Corona, so we get to do this safely. I could I'll sneeze, you'll be fine, so that's good.
I've actually had a good time doing like Zoom stuff with people, even if it's just like casual hangouts. They're not
Does
it replace actual human contact for me personally? Yeah. But it's been nice.
I miss hugging. I miss giving heart handshakes. You know, I feel. That's the thing, because like when you meet someone, you give them a firm handshake, you know, and like you know, you have assertiveness and you hug people on their wedding day, and like now I'm not doing that, so it's like it's kind of weird because I'm a very huggable person, so it's definitely I have to like kind of switch that off now, but yeah, that's fine. I'll make those sacrifices. Cause like I said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to get it or possibly pass it on. Like mm-hmm. I could have the health to get through it. Like many people have, but yeah. someone else might not, you know? So that's my worry. And I would never want to be responsible for that. I think for sure.
That would be heart-wrenching to find that out.
Well, you hear stories of a kid goes to a party and then like comes home, he gives it to his dad. His dad's in the ICU. Like this, like imagine being that kid knowing that because you had one night of fun with your friends that your dad's possibly going to die. And those are his actions. There's no like, maybe he got it from the market. No, he got it from his son who's been careless. And there's a wedding that shut down an entire town.
Then you just sort of have that feeling for like,
yeah,
ever that you was like, did I kill my dad? Like, I don't want to have that question.
Yeah, but I'm glad you're safe, you know. And you and I are both kind of on sabbatical, you know, working entertainment. We're not essential workers right now. So, mm-hmm. But you have such a cool job, a career in live entertainment as a acrobat and stunt performer. We have a lot of mutual friends who we work together a lot with, and
small world, man. It's yeah. Seriously trips me out. Actually,
yeah.
You, you know this person? I'm like, yeah, yeah. I do. You know this person?
It's like, I'm sorry. I don't like guitar either. You know,
that's literally never been said ever.
Be surprised.
The people are just like, I hate guitar. He always makes me feel safe. Yeah. Gosh damn it! I live an acrobat life. Guy, tell me to get inside the car. I do flips while the car's moving.
Yeah, fuck that.
How I live my life.
I'm a life on the edge. but we talked earlier. We had a little malfunction earlier. So if in case we lost that info, we're just going to kind of double up and kind of go back to things.
Yeah, cool. But, we'll backtrack a little.
Yeah, growing up, you were West Side Story together as kids. And like, I remember you never had any acrobatic experience when you were younger. And then I see you really grow and do more stunt work and trapeze work and other things, you know, because when you think of acrobats or anything gymnastic or things like that, you think, oh, he was trained at five by a Russian trainer, you know, but you weren't. You were much older when you started getting to this. So how was that like?
That was that whole story was weird because I was at the time. I was at, Fullerton Junior College. I was there and I got into a show called Midsummer Night's Dream, and it was directed by Gary Krenke. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him at all.
I know Gary infamously.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of a big deal in that area.
I don't want to say things, but I might sip some tea eventually in the future.
Good, so, bad.
Was your experience? Know him. Was your experience good or bad?
I had a very great experience with
Gary. Okay. Then you're part of that majority. I'm part of the minority of that.
Okay. No worries. I've definitely heard contradictory stories.
Yeah. I understand respect he gets, and I understand. And he's a talent director and stuff, but my experience wasn't as pleasant. But I'll dig into that bench in the future.
I'm actually really curious now.
Maybe. You know Jason Todd.
No, familiar.
He goes by Jason
Very
Todd on
angry
Instagram.
Person.
Jason Evans? Jason. Well, he was like one of the only friends I had at my time.
Jason Evans works at Disney, right?
Big blue eyes,
I called him Jason.
I think he did Robin at Magic Mountain for a while.
Yes. Yeah, I believe you're right.
He was like the only kind of like really nice person that was like nice to me at FJC. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is like, maybe it's just the Fullerton kids or very competitive, very, very, I didn't feel welcome there.
FJC was a tough egg to crack.
Yeah. I'll just say that I didn't feel welcome there, mm-hmm. and maybe I'll delve into it in the future. I do want to have Jason on and talk to him about it, because honestly he was the only, because like the entire time in that, even getting that supporting role was like everyone in that product, not everybody, but a lot of people in that production, a lot of people kind of like made me feel like I didn't deserve to be there. I didn't deserve the role, and like I felt picked on by Gary, by definitely the technician is really cool. You know what happened when the techs told me, like, because when the techs had my back, he was like, Gary made it a point to make sure that I didn't get a spotlight on some of my scenes. Yeah, really? Fucked up, right? Yeah. Scenes that I'm in where I'm singing, and like I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And like, but he's like, no, but I lit you because like you're the star of that scene. Like, you should be lit. Like, thank you, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that doesn't
like,
make any sense,
dude. There's, I mean, I could go on about my experiences with Gary, but I mean, this isn't what this podcast is about.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
It's funny because like the Fullerton College years, even for me, but anytime I hear someone talk about it, I was like, it was such a cutthroat. It's such a weird for that school to be just a junior college as cutthroat as it was. And is like, it just, the way it operated was fascinating to me looking back, but also I was like, holy crap, that was overly harsh and unnecessary for a junior college.
Cause I had to take one of the classes too.
Yeah, Jason's super cool. I always like
super nice, and I did a production with him before that. West Side Story, same thing. Cast a bunch of dicks, you know, like I don't know why. Like some of these theater kids, they grow up. I guess because they grow up doing dance and all this stuff, and they grow up in this world. But like they treat other people like shit, and like it, maybe it's Orange County. I don't know, but Jason has always been like just a genuinely nice guy, and like he helped me like. Learn dances, and he always like helped me. Like I appreciate that, you know. And like,
yeah,
it's one thing to like, well, you're on your own. It's another thing to you know, see someone who's like, who maybe needs some help, and like, hey, you know. So Jason, I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, I want to ask you out there, Jason. You're watching this. We like you, man. You're a cool dude.
Thanks for being the one cool guy at FJC. I appreciate that.
No, he was a standout for me too. I remember I took an improv class out there and I was doing something like we were making up some story and like this, like we had separated in groups. And like Jason at one point saw me like going off on like a tangent and we were in the same group. He's like, do you write for like comics or whatever? Because like that's on the comic. And I was like, you just can just identify when people have skills and you let them know. I was like, yeah, man, you got a good skill there. I'm like,
he should be
like
a teacher.
Nicest guy I've ever met in my life.
He should be a teacher. I think he's the type of person who'd be a great teacher because like
he would make a really good teacher.
He's so encouraging. Like this turning into like I love Jason.
Yeah, this we should have on this podcast we talk about Jason and he's super cool. If you ever run into the guy, just give him a hug. Yeah. He'll accept it.
I try to get him on to work for me at IT doing like MCing and DJing, but he's just busy doing his things, which is fine. Like I told him the door is always open. I think you're a talented guy. I'd love to have you. Because he was like working, like he's way too talented to just be doing like Uber and stuff. Like, dude, come on.
He's super talented. Yeah.
But I know he's doing
his
other things.
His whole family's really talented.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. His brother's really cool too, you know. But like, nice guy. You know what's funny? I guess it's hard to like really like notice a really nice person in that industry that's not just kind of like, not that everyone's conniving, but like everyone has their own agenda. And then like, it really stuck out that Jason was super nice about it.
Funny. It's, you know, what's funny, you bring that up and I feel like any audition, whether it was an acrobatic audition, the musical audition, stunt audition, you name it. I find that like everyone's like on the same team. Like we're all like in this together. We're all like going to get jobs. We're going to try. It's like, even though not all of us can get jobs, but the moment someone gets cast, suddenly like, I don't know you people. I've been chosen.
That's so chosen.
Like, my schedule suddenly full, you pawns.
It's like the rapture, and I'm going. I will see you. You know, like, yeah, you're totally right, totally right.
And that just that feeling, and even people who get picked, I know they don't do it on purpose, but like they're excited. How do you share your excitement while not like thrusting it in people's face? So you kind of like, oh, I understand that feeling of kind of like, oh, I've been chosen. Sorry guys, I gotta go. I love you.
Yeah. I mean,
but from the perspective of you weren't chosen, you're like, I'm happy for you, sort of, but I'm really upset. So I've mixed emotions.
I've had my foot in both worlds, you know, and like it messes with your head when you're a lead, you know, and then like these younger ensemble people who were like, have a great, just like really wide-eyed and like they want to get a lead someday.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of them never will, you know, but it and like you want to be, I try to remember that and try not to be like, oh, I'm part of this clique, you know, like,
yeah.
I, I want to talk to everybody, you know, and but I have anxiety. I get nervous around people, you know, so if I ever came across as a dick, or I came off as like non-talkative, I was probably intimidated by you if that ever happened. So
I can't think of a time, but
yeah. I mean, not between you and me. I'm just saying in general with anybody.
Oh yeah, yeah, like so, to the world.
Yeah. But no, you yeah. with you, I've always heard about you. Yeah, I've seen you around school when you were kids. You always seemed like a cool guy, but we never crossed paths until West Side Story. And then like I kind of wish we did when we were young. I wish we hung out more when we were younger. You're a really cool guy. Like you're definitely. And then after seeing you just progress throughout your acrobatic career, you know, like so much respect, because like you're much older when you did that. You know, that's very challenging to do when you're older, you know. And you know, I it's great to see you do like trapeze and climb things.
That's literally my favorite thing, is just climbing stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so envious of you, because you have all the skills that I wish I had in terms of physical.
Really? Because like you have the skills that I still don't have. I could not do aerials back when you were doing aerials. And guess what? I still can't do aerials.
So here's the aerial. Here's a one-handed. Here's aerial. Here's a finger, then one-handed.
You want me to do handstands? You want me to do double back tucks off a trapeze bar while swinging? I can climb a rope without my legs. It's like, but aerials? Yeah, don't got it.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm on the boat now too, so don't worry. You know, I'm 37 now. I'm getting up there.
I'm 36. I'm right behind you.
I don't know, but you're still in good physique, right? You're so good. Like, you're still doing acrobats. I did a Chinese get up. A year ago, I did Chinese get up in the gym. I can still do them, you know. And then this
year, kip ups for you.
It's real straight in my back now. I can't do that anymore. Like my body doesn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of like arching and whipping.
It's embarrassing, because like as long as I can still do like a spinning back kick, like okay, I still got it. But now, yeah, that's fine. That part of me died. So
it's like, yeah.
Please continue being physically adequate so that I can live through your
It's funny, my trick that I maintain like that is I do a front lever, and I'll just like hold myself out forward, so like my body's like this and the ground's here. I was like, that's like my thing. I'm like, as long as I can still do that, I'm fine. Like during COVID, when I didn't have any place to train, I would just check in on those every once in a while. Like, I still got these, right? I still got them? Because I am not in shape.
But no, what professions do you know? Like, what are your techniques?
Disciplines?
Yeah, disciplines. Sorry.
No, no worries. My primary is aerial rope. That's my favorite. I usually favor anything that looks like it came off the street, as it were. Yeah, so like, yeah. everyone knows what a rope is. Everyone knows what a pole is. I was like, but I also have like, I do flying trapeze. I teach that sort of happened, not because I sought after it, just sort of happened. And I had to learn it for a job that I got hired for back in 2013. And I've just sort of always been in the flying trapeze world ever since, for some reason, but that's it was cool. Never my main thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of learned, not out of my own drive. You know, it's weird, because you know, people like, you got to really want stuff. It's like, if you're going to learn it, it's like, I just sort of learned it. It wasn't like something I was after.
Yeah.
And like, it's funny, because every once in a while I'll be hard on myself. I'm like, oh, I'm not learning like double layouts fast enough. And like, this person learned it way faster than me, or they're doing all these tricks and I'm not. I was like, oh, but like, they have the drive for this. I like quite frequently find myself training something else, and then I'll do trapeze like once or twice a week.
Well, it's a merit to your talent that you could pick things up like that. You know, like these are tried and true like disciplines that have been gone on for decades and centuries, and you can just pick it up. So, you know, I applaud you for that.
Yeah, thanks. It's definitely, I think at the end of the day, I enjoy being around people who are passionate about it, and it's fun training it. I had told you earlier at some point that I had one professional gig I did ever. It was great. I enjoyed the gig itself. I was like, but at the end of the day, I was kind of like, oh, a part of me also feels like someone else would just wants this more, would do better probably. I mean, definitely can throw bigger, better tricks than I am. Like my trick was the layout at the time, and that was it. I threw a double as a dismount at the end of the contract. And that was just to like, I haven't thrown a double in a while. Let's throw it in show.
Like, what's the oldest like acrobats you've met, like, because like, people have been doing acrobats for like into their 50s, right? Like, because I've seen a few circus documentaries.
There's some like professional flyers that still fly to this day. Like they don't throw the big tricks they used to, like quads or anything like that. But I do know they're in terms of casual flyers, we've had I forgot what they call themselves here, but we had a lot of older people here, like I think 60s and over, wow, who are students that'll come and fly here, wow, at Emerald City in Seattle.
Wow. 60 and older. So
yeah, they were on the news a while back too. They're so awesome. They're like some of my favorite students that we have here too.
Dude, if you ever want to double up and do an interview with me and you and them, that'd be cool. I'd love to hear.
Yeah. I think you would get a kick out of them. They're amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, everything you're doing is like that childlike dream of like running away to the circus, you know? like that's literally what you're doing with your life.
That phrase cool. alone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which you don't hear anymore. It's more like running away and starting a TikTok, you know? That
I know, right? It's really funny.
You have to do work. You're not just swiveling your hips on a video. Don't get me started on TikTok. Oh, my God.
That's funny.
do you feel that, do you feel like you want to retire? Do you want to like teach eventually? Like what's the, or like you're just kind of just chasing the bone. Like
it's such a weird place right now. I have no idea because I don't know where circus is going right now or acrobatics in general. Cause I feel like circus is kind of like its independent brand. Then you have Cirque du Soleil, which is another brand, despite the fact that the disciplines overarching are the same, but people associate them differently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And which is funny to me because like I had an experience where I went grocery shopping and I talked about, you know, when you're at like Trader Joe's, like, hey, how's your day? And like, pretty good. I just got done training. And like, I just threw a passing thing like that. So girl, you're at the gym. It's like, oh no, I was like doing acrobatics and stuff. Like I got a job that I got to maintain because I was back from break. I was in the Dominican at the time. And he's like, oh, it's like, you're going to Dominican. He's like, the way you describe yourself, like, I don't mean to offend you, but like, are you in the circus? I'm like,
I think if they like, if you said like, are you a gypsy? Then maybe that'd be, but a circus performer,
apparently it's offensive.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, I'm not offended at all. I was like, yeah, I'm doing a contract out there in the Dominican.
You should have said like, hey, that's our word.
Yeah. Like, how dare you? You cannot use the C word.
Are you ringleader? No.
You better watch your mouth, son.
I got a bag of peanuts in the threat to right
now. It was funny. I was like, I didn't know how to respond to that. It was so awkward. I was like, it's like, it's not offensive at all. I was like, but yeah, I do a lot of circus work and I'm doing a contract right now. And at the time, I happened to be doing a contract that had Cirque du Soleil involved.
Yeah.
And Cirque du Soleil and this other company, Club Med, we're doing this combo program where they had a bunch of acrobats, like teach acrobatics to the guests at this hotel, but we would also do performances. So Cirque du Soleil had this hand in how it would visually look for that avenue. It didn't have the whole Cirque du Soleil, this is a Cirque du Soleil show, but the programming and the formula for the style in which the performance was done was very Cirque du Soleil, very welcome to the world.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
Of
yeah,
yeah. this thing. And so the moment I said Cirque du Soleil, the guy was like, oh, Cirque du Soleil. Oh, dude, that's freaking cool, man. That's awesome. Suddenly, like, it wasn't offensive anymore.
You, I feel, well, Cirque du Soleil is still thriving. Maybe a few productions have.
By thriving, do you mean bankrupt right now?
Are they bankrupt right now?
They filed for bankruptcy at the beginning of COVID.
I think I remember that. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Before COVID. Like,
yeah,
because it was the only circus in town. Because Ringling's is gone. Ringling's and Barnum is like the iconic like circus that you know.
It was like the last like trad circus in America.
Yeah, yeah. I even think if you got rid of the animals and just did like, I think they could have still done productions, right? Or were the animals a big part of it?
I don't know their actual situation. I know they were owned by the Feld Company at the time, and I know that because when COVID hit, I was working for the Feld Company at the time. So I saw a lot of like during rehearsals for the show I was working on, there's a lot of Ringling Brothers paraphernalia there because the head of the Feld house family, he loves the circus. He loves Ringling. So like he really liked, he put a lot into it. So he was very sad to see it go. And so that was a bummer. I had my particular opinions with trad circus, and it's actually independent of the animals. Like, I do know that, like, had they gotten rid of the animals earlier, they would have had a better shot to last at least longer, at the very least. But I've had conversations. There's this guy, Eric, who's our manager in the Dominican with Cirque du Soleil, and he came from the Cirque company. And he would tell me, because he used to be an acrobat years ago, like, he was now like this manager and he would manage acrobats. But he was saying how in his earlier days, it's like Cirque knew for a fact, and even to this day, he says, we knew that we weren't the best acrobatically speaking. He says, they always knew that. And it wasn't their thing. They didn't care, which I thought was fascinating that he said that. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Because I had seen a Ringling Brothers literally a year prior to that conversation with him back in 2014, I think it was. And I remember seeing the phenomenal tricks that they did. And I was like, I don't think I've even seen Cirque acrobats do some of this stuff. This stuff's intense. Like, and no one's really paying attention. I don't get it. And then he says what Cirque did wasn't change much or do better acrobatically per se. He says what Cirque did was like, we felt we had more of a maturity in the delivery of our acrobatics.
Yeah.
And says, and through that, we used this format of doing suggested narratives or creation of these worlds that you got to join in. Whereas the circus literally will dictate to you what you're seeing. It's like, you're seeing someone do four flips in the air after swinging off the bar. Like, okay. Like, I can see it. You don't have
to. Greatest show on earth.
Yeah. It's like, what am I a part of here? It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier in terms of sharing bits of yourself, like whether it's like online or with your friends, to actually like communicate and get closer to people. Mm-hmm. Right. The traditional circus doesn't do that. Ringling Brothers didn't do that. It's like, but Cirque gave you this feeling. And what they got popular around the 80s, 90s is when they really started boosting up. And so as a result, more acrobats want to go there. So the acrobatic quality started going up. But later, as long as they kept this like world building and the suggested narrative, they were already doing better. And so I think audiences started enjoying like, everyone loves a story. We sit around the dinner table telling stories. So of course, humans were going to like stories over just dictated what trick is being thrown at you. And it's not even, you don't see the acrobat learning the trick. It's they've practiced for years already and have mastered it. And you just, it's like going to a movie and just seeing a bunch of happy endings and you have no idea the plot points.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for watching this interview. Part two will be up in a few days. So hang tight for that. And remember, you can listen to Unplugged on both on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. So that is there for your walk, for your workout, for your drive. So if you want to hear more about Enrique and the circus life, you can continue on the podcast. Don't forget to be safe, be kind, be you, and we'll see you.